Welcome to CDB Section 9. We're going to be talking about technology. The objectives here, number one, is to understand the levels of encryption and how you can add layers of protection to any encrypted information or to encrypted information. Number two is to identify ways to stay secure regardless of where or what device that you're using to access sensitive information. Obviously, what we're sharing with our clients and learning from our clients and about our clients, all of this is sensitive information and we need to make sure that we're treating it as such. Number three is to recognize how to protect your logins and login information so that unscrupulous people cannot get their hands on it, or we'll do our best to try to communicate that. And then number four, demonstrate best practices when working with technology and how to eliminate scams or how to at least notice them, right? Let's start off with talking about encryption. So what level of encryption? Our recommendation is that it must be at least bank level, which is technical terms here, AES-256 or 256-bit encryption. That makes it very, very difficult for somebody to hack. Doesn't make it impossible, right? If they're able to break into the Pentagon, I think that they can get into our stuff. But this is the things, the countermeasures that we're taking to make sure that we do our job to make it as tough as possible. So what do we want to do? Where do we do this? We're encrypting your hard drive, okay? We're password protecting your operating system, which means that you're going to be adding two layers of security and encrypting to all new files added. Here's what this basically means. Let's say that, and we don't recommend that sensitive information is kept on your hard drive, okay? We recommend that this is stored in a AES-256 environment in the cloud so that your client and you can access it all the time. But let's say that a bank statement that you download or something comes onto your computer. This is just another fail-safe method. By encrypting your hard drive, if somebody were to take your computer, steal your computer, and take the hard drive out, if it were not encrypted, they could just plug it into another computer and boom, access all the information that's on there. If it's encrypted, they ain't gonna be able to do that without the password because all the stuff that's on there is just gibberish without the code, okay? So it kind of becomes an Indiana Jones movie, right? We're trying to decipher the code. That's why we want to encrypt our hard drive as well as password protect our operating system so that even if they could do that, there's another layer that's there. Again, is it foolproof? No, it's not foolproof, but it's pretty darn close to it. Now, additional protection, okay, we can also use what's called a secure VPN, a virtual private network. This ensures that your network, your connection to a server is protected. And then also there is a firewall, which blocks suspicious connections to and from your computer. It's not the same thing as malware scanner or antivirus, which we should have as well. This is making sure that people can't force themselves from the outside into our. And then here's just a little comment. We made sure that we talked with our tech people. We'll only use one firewall at a time or else you're going to make your life online as well as your operating miserable. Okay, so there's a little bit about encryption there. Now let's talk about security. Smartphones, they're not naturally secure, okay, voice or the texting. So what do? We password protect your device and we use apps to secure it. Okay. Routers, often an overlooked security risk since the ones that are supplied by an internet provider are not secure. So if I go into a place of getting coffee and they have free Wi-Fi, it's a great advantage, but that is not a secure connection. Okay. So talking about public Wi-Fi, never safe without a VPN, a virtual private network, a secure virtual private network. Use a hotspot, one that's just yours, or a data plan from your mobile provider. Turn off the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth on your devices when it's not in use so that people can't hack into your phone. I know that we're being a little bit paranoid here, but it's important. We want to make sure that cyber liability is a huge thing. And we don't want stuff falling into the hands of rotten people at our expense. We certainly don't want to do that. Auto updates. This applies to phones. It applies to apps. It applies to anything that you're using on the interwebs, right? Things that other people can access. It's one of the most important security countermeasures or measures that you can take. Operating systems, backups of local files, virus scans on computers and other devices should be set to auto update, okay? Because one of the big vulnerabilities is that we don't update. So for instance, Zoom recently had a lot of people hacking into their system. So what did they do? They created an update. But if I didn't update that, if I didn't auto update it, then I'm still vulnerable because I didn't upload or update their software. So that's one of the reasons that it's important to do that. Now let's talk about protecting logins because we have lots of logins, right? Security questions. Do not use answers that can be found by searching your information on the internet. So you see a lot of these posts that go around Facebook that says, hey, tell us the street you grew up on. What was the name of your elementary school? Those are just scams for people to find that information. So make sure that it's not information that people could actually find out on the internet. Here's one, for example. Hey, what was your first car, right? And so I could go onto my Facebook profile and say, hey, look at me and my first car. It was a Jeep. Well, boom, I've just given the answers to everybody, right? And by the way, that is actually the car that I had. That's actually not a security question that I use right there, okay? Using completely unrelated answers adds an extra security level to your login information when it comes to security questions. Now let's talk about two-factor authentication. Throwing in extra syllables, or 2FA if you want to be a cool kid, should be used in addition to a password manager. You can use a cloud password manager for it. Okay, so this is one of those things where it says basically if you're going to log in, you log in with your credentials and then you get a text message with the code and you have to enter that. That's two-factor authentication. I don't know why I can't say that today, that word right there. Number three, password management. It allows you to generate and save passwords without having to remember them yourself. Provide your clients with the ability to share their passwords in an encrypted, secure manner. So using something like LastPass or Everform or Practice Protect, all these different things are tools that are password management and then beyond that. So here are some best practices. Number one, backups. Always backup files, okay? Whether that be your website, your local hard drive. If you're using cloud security, making sure that whatever application that you're using actually does this, okay? All of that should be backed up regularly. Number two, a disaster recovery plan or a DRP, processes to recover from natural disasters, theft, or cybercrime. So going back to my example where somebody stole your hard drive, okay, they can't get access to the information, but you can't either because it's not there. So what was your redundancy? What did you have in plan? What plan did you have in place, I should say, where you can go and retrieve that information? Oh yeah, you know what? I uploaded a backup last night to the web automatically. That was done to a secure site. And now I can go and access that information, go buy myself a new hard drive and put it on there, going through all the words of encryption and all that good stuff. So that is an example of a disaster recovery plan. Make sure that you use what's called HTTPS. We all see those little things in the upper left-hand corner of a web browser that says this is not secure or this is secure. It's obviously more secure than HTTP. Pretty much HTTP is not used anymore. Google's not going to show those results. It's just saying that the site owner and the user has a security certificate, okay? But still, if that's being used, you still need to have that VPN since the site may be malicious or dangerous. Again, some of these are just best practices. That's why it's labeled here as best practices. Yearly review. At least once a year, you should review who has access to apps, what the apps have access to, and your cybersecurity policy. Make sure that that's, you're not just paying lip service to it. The more that we move online, and it's great to be a digital virtual bookkeeper, but one of the things that we have to make sure that we safeguard against is all of these different things, including the next one, which is scams. We got phishing here, which is not something that we do off the coast of Florida. This is the most common form of a cyber crime. Educate yourself on tactics and tricks, okay? We just saw a story in the news not too long ago about Barbara Corcoran, who is a shark on Shark Tank, very smart woman, one of the smartest, most savvy individuals in the world, who was her bookkeeper was, or accounts payable was a victim of this, right? Never click on links that are from unknown sources. Keep your software updated. Phishing can affect smartphones, computers, tablets, Apple products also. So if you think that you're not vulnerable to this with Apple products, you still are, okay? They can occur on a phone call, text, email, even snail mail. Use a safe site checker to check links before clicking on them. Okay, so if you go to Google and type in safe site checker, there's going to be a number of them that come up. You can type in a link, see if it's actually safe before you actually go and do that sort of thing. Tech support scam. This is a big one right now. And these are always evolving. Okay, if it sounds too good to be true, or if you don't know the source, or if you're ever in doubt, don't click a link. Don't take action. Do some research before you actually go out there. So this is a warning message saying that there is a serious issues with the device and tells the operator to call support at the provided number. So what should you do here? You should disconnect from the internet, all right, and run malware or virus scanners. Very important that we do that. Okay, so there's a little bit about technology. Now let's talk about the test. Prepare for it. What you've just done now, understand how to protect your logins, best practices, and scams. Study the encryption levels, additional layers of securities, and different things that you can do to protect your data and your client's data. Again, like all the tests, there's mostly true-false type of things. We do have some recall level and a few application level type of questions. Hope that has helped. I will see you in the next section. You are getting oh so close. I'm proud of you. Go get prepared for this exam, and I'll see you in the very next section on your CDB.